Our reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 18, from the New International Version of the Bible. And if you've got a church Bible, it's found on page 1014. And I've been asked to read it twice. The rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray now for Becca. Becca, as I said, is a student on placement with us. She used to work at Buckingham Palace, so anyone who wants to chat to her about royal matters, do so after. She'd also appreciate any constructive feedback, so do go and talk to her afterwards about her talk. But let's pray for her now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Becca, and we pray that you will fill her with your Holy Spirit right now and speak through her to us. Give us ears and hearts that are open to what you are saying to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
When I was a kid, more than anything in the world, I wanted to be a good girl. Now, sometimes I was, and sometimes I wasn't. But when I was good, it made my parents happy. And when I was good, it made my teachers happy. Being good was good. And then I got to secondary school. And of course, I still wanted to be a good girl. Until I realised that being a good girl at secondary school is not a good thing. Goody-goody is absolutely not a compliment. And the bad kids seemed to be the most popular. So being good was bad, and being bad was good. Okay. But as adults, of course, we know the difference between good and bad, don't we? We seek good role models. We applaud good leaders. We greatly admire do-gooders like Lady Diana or Mother Teresa. Then again, we don't want to be known as suck-ups, do we? And we're very suspicious of people whose lives seem to be too good to be true. We also love watching films of people that do bad things for good reasons. Just this week, I saw a film in the cinema about eight women who decide that they want to steal a necklace worth $150 million. Now, because they, of course, have really good reasons for needing this money, they are clearly the good people in this story. And these authorities that are trying to stop them, well, they're the bad ones. Okay, so being good is usually good, but sometimes bad. And being bad is usually bad, but sometimes good. Okay. We seem to have a very complicated relationship with goodness as human beings. So then, where do we go to find out what true goodness is? Do we look within ourselves? Do we ask our friends? Do we look at really, really good people? Well, I want to suggest today that the only way to know once and for all what goodness really is to go back to the source, to the one who created goodness, and to have him teach us what it really means to be good. To have God himself goodness himself teach us what goodness really is. And this brings us to this young man who runs up to Jesus and falls on his knees saying, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Like us, this man takes for granted that he knows the difference between good and bad. He doesn't ask, "Teacher, what is goodness?" He doesn't say, "If you are a good teacher." He doesn't question what he considers to be good. But Jesus challenges him anyway. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." "Why do you call me good?" "No one is good except God alone." These are two big statements about goodness, which we're going to unpack together to discover what Jesus meant. Firstly, that God is good. And secondly, that no one else is good. So firstly, Jesus says God is good. I'd like to invite you, if you'd like, to just close your eyes for a few seconds and just sit with that thought. So close your eyes. God is good. Just let it ring in your mind. Test it against your experience. Have you experienced that God is good? Are there parts of you that doubt it? God is good. And when you're ready, if you'd like to open your eyes. Now, you may have heard it said, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Always good, all the time. And while we know in our heads that God is good, if I'm honest, there are times in my own life where I have most certainly doubted God's goodness. A few years ago, one of my brother's friends fell off a cliff while they were out hiking together, and he hit his head really badly. So all that night, many of us were up praying and praying for his healing, but the next day he died from his head injury. And it was an intensely confusing time and a very painful time to try and process, how do I fit together that I know God is good and something like this happens? Is God still good, even now? And yet the Bible is full, packed full of the promise and the assurance of God's constant goodness. A verse that I've clung onto in my darkest times, such as the one that I've just shared, is Psalm 27, verse 13, which says, "I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." During painful times like what we experienced with my brother's friend, it feels very tempting to leave pain, anger, confusion at the door when we come into church, when we come to pray, when we worship. But I just want to share today that God is not only big enough and secure enough and strong enough for anything we could bring to him. He is also fully secure in his goodness, that even in the depths of the most horrific things, he is, and he is able, and he wants to reveal his goodness to us. And that is what I experienced at the time of our friend's death. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." He invites us and urges us to taste, to chew over, to experience who he is. Because he says that when we do, we will see that he is good. He's completely secure in his knowledge that when we experience and perceive him as he really is, we will discover that in all things, at all times, he is good. So firstly, we need to know that God is good. Secondly, no one is good except God alone. No one else is good. And the question is, if only God is good, should we even try? Can humans be good? Which brings us back to the very start of our own story as humans. to the very same Spirit that we've been talking about with this fruit of the Spirit all term. The Spirit who was right there at the start, hovering over the waters of chaos in Genesis. As God created time and space and the world itself, he called it good. And as he created humankind in his own image, he called us very good. We were created for goodness. And yet now we read that God alone is good. While at creation, God called us very good, our goodness is no longer automatic. But that is one of the reasons Jesus came to earth, to show us what goodness, what godliness looks like in human flesh. Now, the irony of the story that Jane read to us wonderfully earlier is that, in fact, Jesus is God. So I can almost imagine a twinkle in his eye as he asks, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good except God alone." Will this man put two and two together and realize that he has unknowingly hit the nail right on the head, that Jesus is the good teacher after all, because Jesus is God? But Jesus didn't just come to earth to show us what goodness looks like, to be a good example for us. He came to make a way for us back to God, back to goodness. As the only perfect human, the only truly good human to ever live, he took humanity's evil onto himself. And dying a criminal's death in our place, before he rose from the dead, raising all of humanity up with him to life, to victory over evil, and to hope of goodness. And today, as his Spirit, which lives with and within us, as we get to know this Spirit of God, as God looks at us, he sees himself, his own Spirit, his own goodness. And like right at the beginning of time, we are once again called very good. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You are God's masterpiece. You are. He loves you from before you were born, before you know him, before you're good. And through Jesus, he has created you anew so that he can once again say, "She is very good. He is very good." And so that you can do the things, the good things that he has planned for your life. So I've got two questions for you today. Firstly, do you know that God is good? And secondly, do you know that he loves you and that he calls you good? So I invite you today to dare to be honest with God, to express to him the areas of life where you struggle to believe that he is good, to hold them out before him, hiding nothing, and to invite him to reveal his goodness and his love to you. So why don't we close our eyes again, and I'm going to pray now that God will reveal those two things to us, that he is so good and that he loves us and sees us as good. So we'll have a few seconds of stillness and then I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your great goodness. We thank you that you have always been good and you will always be good, and that you work all things for good. And we thank you that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you are no longer good alone, but you call us good too, as you see us through your Son. And Father, we bring before you today those painful things in our lives that we don't understand, that make us angry and doubtful of your goodness. And we ask that you would reveal your goodness even in these things. So we choose to say today that we trust your goodness even before we understand. We thank you for your great love for us. And we thank you that you have prepared in advance good things for our lives, and we welcome those good things now. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit so that we too can experience and share your goodness today. Amen. So just a few things before we go into our final song of praise. This may have brought up some things, like I shared a particular story from my life that was painful. If this has brought anything up for you, Janet and I, we would love to pray for you at the end. We'll be here, or do catch us over tea and coffee. We'd love to pray. Or if you've never heard of this good God before, if you've never really connected with that he is really good and that he really sees you as good and loves you, we'd also love to pray and help you get to know this amazing God. Secondly, you may have noticed as we came in, you got given this bookmark, and this is just some verses that I found really helpful to hold on to about God's goodness and about our goodness too. So stick it in your Bible or put it on your fridge or by your mirror for while you're brushing your teeth, somewhere you're going to see it. And do use these verses, they're really powerful to hold on to. And finally, praise releases faith. So as we choose to thank God, even when we don't understand, hope is released within us. So we're going to stand now, I invite you if you're able, and we are going to declare the greatness of God by singing together, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord."